The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Yep. Hey, good plans this weekend?
Well, Kings Friday and Sunday. Getting busy. College hoops, Major League Baseball.
Oh, hey, tomorrow's
opening day.
And in the Sweet 16 back?
Yes.
Yeah. Opening day.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
I am. I am a baseball fan.
You
Dave.
Are. You are.
I like baseball.
It's going
to
be.
I can admit it. I go to meetings.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like Baseball Anonymous?
Uh-huh.
I think
I'm making it very public, though.
I think I will submit this. I think that once the basketball season ends, I think the name of the show should be changed to The Jason Ross Show with Carmichael Dave.
Okay.
I'm going to be riding your back.
Jason Ross with Frankie Cardicelli.
Yes.
Yeah, he and I will do Yankee talk.
Jay Ross and Frankie Clicks, mornings. And I'll do something easy like promotions for the summer.
Okay.
1-800-920. Simone was right there. Come on.
Unnecessary shots fired.
Speaking of shots, join us.
Shameful performance.
Join us right now, the analyst for your Sacramento Kings. Back in the country now. The one, yeah. The only, the talented, Katie Christensen. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Yeah, it's all right. Hey, by the way, I just realized when I said I'll be riding your back this summer, like
yeah,
that implies that you're riding my back otherwise. And I didn't mean it like that. I meant like it's a 50-50 thing, but then like when I'm really going to be, you're the baseball fan. You didn't take it like that, did you?
No.
Okay, good. All right. Hi, Katie.
Hi. Glad you guys got that sorted out.
You know, that's how issues start, Katie. You got to nip them in the bud. You know what I'm saying? You can't let them fester.
Oh, of course.
Hey, what's a spray three? Why is this a? Is it? Wait, I'm sorry, I lost you there. What is a spray three?
A spray three is when you touch the paint with the dribble and then you kick out for a three.
Is this a new word?
It can be an offensive rebound for a kick out for a three.
So
yeah, it's kind of new. It's kind of newer terminology.
I'm hearing this a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely a very common term now, but, you know, it used to just be like a kick-out three.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a so it's just a new way of
new
saying
term.
A kick-out three.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, well, okay. I guess that kind of...
You just don't like the term spray three,
it's not
think.
That I don't... It's not that I don't like it. It's that...
It's new.
It's new, and I hear it everywhere now. And it made me angry at first because I'm like, I don't know what that is. I feel stupid. And then I know what it is, and I'm like, well, that's a kick-out three. Like, are we just arbitrarily changing terminologies?
Yeah.
Like, is an alley-oop someday going to be a zipsy doodle?
There's so many different things that have changed, like even, like, coverages, right? Like, you hear us say up to the level a lot. Like, there used to be things like hedge.
Hedge.
So, like, all of that stuff, you know, you hedge the screen, right?
What's that? Tell everybody what hedging the screen is.
Hedging the screen was just, like, basically being up to the level, which is, like, when the screen is set, instead of being, like, in that drop where the player can go, your defensive, you know, teammate can go under, you kind of hedge so that you're level with the guy setting the screen. Does that make sense? Instead
yes.
of being in the drop, like either several steps back, which we talk about all the time, or even just dropped back enough for them to go underneath the screen, but over the top of you. Like there's so many different terminologies that has changed over the years. And it's frustrating to me too. It is because a lot of times I'm like, wait, what are they calling that now? You know,
right. And Jason also hedging the screen. I think it was a Coen Brothers movie in the 90s. It was a sequel to Waiting for Guffman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Owen Wilson was in it.
It was okay.
Yeah. Katie, what would be your terminology for the loss last night?
Disappointing. I mean, I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I had a migraine yesterday and didn't feel well, so I went to bed early and I had a couple. I'm like, I have a couple days to watch it and
watch it.
You know. Saw the
watch
score.
It. Migraine will come back, dude. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't. Just chew Verapamil.
Listen, like, there's certain things. Like, I can tell you, like, the schedule recently has been really brutal. And, you know, it's like 5 games in 7 days. And I thought they played really, really well coming back against Philly, the first game back home after a road trip. And, like, we landed on Sunday at 3:30 in the morning, you know. And then you've got you kind of to adjust to the time zones. You've been from, you know, Toronto to D.C. to Orlando, then back to Sacramento. And there's, you know, I say it quite a bit, like sometimes you play the schedule, sometimes the schedule plays you. Tough back-to-back, you know, Dallas, you know, in the same situation, they just obviously, you know, I will say this. If you don't have, you know, multiple guys in the starting lineup, like scoring at a high level, like that's not a big night for De'Aaron. It's not a big night for Domas. Like you just, you're completely, you know, putting yourself in a situation where it's going to be hard to win games, especially against an offense like, you know, Dallas that has the ability to have multiple 20, 30 point scorers.
Katie joining us. Say, so Katie, and let me get through this. Don't get mad. So full disclosure, at the top of the show, when I announced, you know, what was coming up on the show and that you joined us at 9, I said, and Katie will join us and make excuses about the schedule, but let me finish. Then I spent the entire show talking about how playing 5 games in 7 nights, including an international game, is actually, if not an excuse, seriously a factor. It has to be a factor in why they were with them the whole first quarter. They were down 5 at half and then just get absolutely toasted by a team they were 2-0 against. Granted, a little bit of a different team, but 2-0 against earlier this year, that lines up with fatigue. So I was having fun with you, but also agree that – and I want you to – because, look, we're not trying to do the whole moral loss, excuse, bloody blah thing. But seriously, and I ask you to do this sometimes because you are there. You are on the road. Yes, you're on a private plane. Yes, you're in a 5-star hotel. Yes, you guys are you know, you travel differently with NBA teams than you would if you and I were flying to Phoenix with Melissa to play golf. Like, we get that. But without hanging on as an excuse, just do me a favor and just describe why it's different and why it's taxing doing 5 games in 7 nights.
Well, you know, the travel is a component, right? Time zones, that type of thing, schedule. It's just like your sleep schedules. And I'm going to be completely honest, you guys, like I am so depleted right now at this point in the season. Like I'm barely hanging on trying to function to get through the last like few weeks of the season and really hoping and praying that the Kings land in 6 just so that I can get some time off to like just feel like a normal human being. So when I'm, you know, being honest and saying that, like, can you imagine how the players feel? Like they're the ones physically going out and having to perform and having to mentally plan and prepare for games and have the you know, focus and attention to detail. And, you know, it's crazy. Like I've heard a lot of talk of strength of schedule kind of coming down the stretch and stuff like that. And I believe the Kings are third toughest schedule remaining. But they've had the third toughest schedule in the league since day one of this season. So you can break it up in different parts and say, oh, well, this stretch and da-da-da-da and so on and so forth. The reality is, like, they've played a really, really brutal – and that's just the – you know, that's just how the cookie crumbles, if you will, in the NBA. And, you know, I'm always very hesitant to make what are termed as, you know, quote-unquote excuses. It's not an excuse. It's a factor, right? And it's a very real thing. Yeah. And, you know, you look at Boston the other day, like what are sports talk radio guys in Boston saying after their loss? You know what I mean? Like it happens to everyone. No one plays a perfect season. That's why no one's ever gone to 82-0. You know, like what the Warriors did several years ago, like that was crazy and an anomaly and all of these things. And so I understand, especially at this point in the season, just how demoralizing a loss like last night can be. But, you know, there's a couple of things where you have one more against Dallas. You've got one more against New Orleans, who you have not performed against. And so I believe there's one more against Phoenix.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dallas and Phoenix are teams that, you know, the Kings are kind of in that hunt with, back and forth with the 6th to the 8th, 6th to the 8th, so on and so forth. And, you know, New Orleans is a team that is has completely dominated and owned you. So you have an opportunity, but it's stressful and there's a lot of anxiety, right? Like you can, quote unquote, control your own fate. But it's, you know, you still have to play out the schedule and just kind of, you know, where you land is where you land.
Yeah. Talking with Katie Christensen, Kings TV analyst. Katie, last night, again, just another reminder when you see opposing teams in person and you'll get to see him again on Friday. There's so many great players in this league and they're great for different reasons. Whether it's, you know, just the other night, Tyrese Maxey, a really good player. And you get to see his quickness, how it's really tough to stay in front of him. Last night, there's a guy like Luka who is so unique to me where there's nothing in the flashy part of his game. The athletic ability, he's not the quickest, we all know that, doesn't jump the highest, but his overall skill and his ability to make it look incredibly easy. I mean, he can get his shot with double coverage. He can throw it a pass in the shot pocket of a offensive player. I mean, you know, he can be frustrating to watch as someone I think that complains a lot, but appreciating his skill set, I kind of marveled at him last night. I just think he's absolutely incredible. That's not an earth-shattering statement, but I just love your appreciation or your thought on when you watch Luka play, what makes him so good.
So we talk a lot about athleticism in this league, and, you know, that's an advantage for some people, and some people don't have that, you know, explosive athleticism. But it doesn't mean that they're not a tremendous talent, right? Like Luka falls into that category. Nikola Jokic falls into that category. Like with the eye test, if you will, like you look at them and they're like, oh, they're slow. They don't have great lateral movement. Like they're kind of, you know, but they have size. Size is a big thing. And they have a tremendous fundamental like skill set. And this is not a new revelation for them. They weren't athletic and then all of a sudden they're not athletic. So they've been you have your particular skill set, and over the course of your career, you fine tune those things to how you can gain an advantage, you know, given what you're working with. And, you know, Luka's a tough one for me because, you know, if I have my top five list of players that I cannot stand watching, he's on that list, but I 100% can say he is a phenomenal talent, right? To me, it's some of the other things to watch, right? It is the complaining. It is that kind of stuff. And then from a player perspective, there's been so many games where I'm like, wow, that's the type of player that probably I wouldn't have liked to play with, you know, because you can go stretches of a quarter and feel like you're not even involved in the offense. Like you're not contributing. You're just basically there to get rebounds and, you know, kick it out and let him go at it again. So, you know, and the really puzzling thing, right, with him is that we can all say that he's an all-star, that he's a phenomenal player. The numbers he puts up are insane. But like the one thing he hasn't gotten yet is he hasn't won at a high level. And so that's a knock. And like, how do you not win with Luka and Kyrie? Like, there's things like that where you're kind of sitting back and it's puzzling. And because he is the face of the franchise, like a lot of that criticism is going to fall on him, right? So, you know, I think it's still technically an experiment in Dallas, you know, and you can look at Trae Young as the same way. You know, you can look all throughout the league at players that are just really fantastic, but say that again.
No, go ahead. Chris accidentally hit the wrong button. Go ahead. Continue your thought.
Like they're fantastic and they're, you know, it's like you can say, wow, they're amazing, amazing NBA players, but why can't they win? Why isn't their team winning? Why can't they put people around them that win?
Katie Christensen joining us. I am going to reach into my pocket and throw out a massive curveball right now because this is a developing story and I can't think of anyone better to have on with us right now for this story than you, Katie. TMZ is reporting, and TMZ, if we know anything, 100% of the time gets things right. That in the WNBA last year, the highest paid player was Erica Wheeler at $242,000. That's a couple grand more than Sabrina Ionescu and some of the other highest paid players in the WNBA. I say that for context because TMZ is reporting now that Ice Cube has offered $5 million to Caitlin Clark to play in his 3-on-3 league this season. $5 million for the season. She's expected to go number one in the draft to Indiana. Her contract with Indiana is expected to be slightly higher than the 242, but certainly not in the $5 million range. Apparently, there's like two big three games that would conflict with Indiana games this season. But now all of a sudden, she has the opportunity, you know, not counting endorsements or anything, but to make 25 times more in one season than she would make in the WNBA. Katie, if you're Caitlin Clark, and obviously for those of you who don't know, Katie played in the WNBA. She's not just an analyst. She's also an athlete. If you're Caitlin with all this going on, obviously she'd be playing with all the men. That would be a whole thing as well. Would you either A, take, I'll give you three choices. Take the deal, force Indiana to, you know, let you take the games off to play. B, skip a year, take the deal, and then Indiana secures your rights. Or C, don't sign the deal, don't screw around with the big three, and go to the WNBA.
That's a really tough question.
I feel like it's not, though, but you'll tell us why it is.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, money is a factor in the WNBA.
Yeah.
And it always has been. And I don't think it's never going to be on equal, you know, playing field with the NBA. First of all, it's a much shorter season, so you consider it like half of the NBA season, right? A little bit under. And so, you know, okay, well, does that mean over a course of an 82-game season that they would be making, you know, $600,000 or $550,000 or whatever it is, right? It's still so different. I mean, you look at just the bonus alone for players that played in the in-season tournament this year, which was an experiment. Like, the bonus alone for that, for the team that won, it was like $1 million apiece, if I'm not mistaken. So it's like it's crazy when you think of that. And so I think there's this component of it where the 3-on-3 thing is almost like a little and one tour type thing, you know, like I think it comes down to the athlete in particular, like, do they want to play basketball or do they want to kind of play in something that is a little bit more of a circus type, you know, entertainment venue. Does
with
that
generation
sense?
With generation. And by the way, just to underscore your point, I'm looking it up here. So the vet minimum, which escalates for every year of service, the vet minimum in the NBA for 1 year of service is $1.8 million.
Yeah.
The WNBA operates under a team salary cap of $1.46 million divided amongst 11 or 12 players. Now, we're not getting into salary equity, and that's a whole different Donahue. Point being, just underscoring your point, Katie and Jason, that this is generational wealth. This is more than she can make in 25 seasons in the NBA. And on top of that, I got to think it's not going to hurt her endorsement deals.
Yeah, so it's crazy. I mean, like, I think a lot of people that think in terms of just money alone, like, yeah, absolutely, you take that deal. The WNBA is never going to allow you to do both. It comes down to, you know, we're making this investment, quote unquote, in you. You play for our team. If you're not available or you get hurt doing that, like, how does that impact, you know, it's a money-making thing for the franchise, right? But here's the thing. Like, you look at Caitlin Clark, and I'm sure you guys have seen the lines, like, just stretching for yep. hundreds and hundreds of yards outside of buildings for people to get in and see Caitlin Clark play in college basketball, right?
Yes.
And
outselling the men's tournament right yep. now. Not yes. Men are getting better ratings. I saw that yesterday. Women, I think the pricing was something like four times what the men were. Wow. So you're seeing a lot of growth there.
Yeah. So you can see what a player like that brings to a franchise, right? And it's like, okay, there's been several players in the WNBA recently that are, you know, look at what happened, you know, at the three-point competition in the NBA this year. Like, there are a lot of eyes on particular players in the WNBA, and the talent in the WNBA has grown exponentially since I played, you know, almost 20 years ago, right? And you cannot deny that the product is better. But I'm telling you this right now, the salary has not gone up very much since I played. And that's the puzzling thing to me, because you have to believe that these TV contracts, that the endorsements, the jersey sales, like Indiana, if Caitlin Clark goes there and plays there, they're going to make so much money just off of her jersey sales. She's not going to touch a fraction of it. And so it kind of is reminiscent to me a little bit of the NIL money with college basketball, you know. And, you know, I don't know if anyone's seen the Fab Five documentary, the ESPN 30 for 30, the I Hate Christian Laettner thing, which always is a you know, kind of a topic that comes up during the NCAA tournament, one of the most hated players in college basketball. Like, you look at that, and there was, and this relates to Sacramento in the sense that, you know, Chris Webber, when he was there, that Fab Five group, Jalen Rose talks about it in the documentary. You know, media members that were close to that group talk about Chris Webber being like, I don't have, like, can I borrow money for a slice of pizza?
Right.
Like, it's crazy how much money Nike made off of them, the college made off of them, and they don't touch it. So the NCAA has addressed that with the NIL money. But I still think when it comes to women's professional basketball in the WNBA, there's a huge lag there. And so I don't know if this offer from Ice Cube is going to be the factor that shifts things and says, okay, we have to allow, you know, higher salaries. We have to figure out something, because now we have competition on our soil.
Yeah.
And this isn't just like, you know, Diana Taurasi, who I played with in Phoenix. And from the moment she left college, she came to the WNBA, then she immediately went overseas and started playing in Russia. And she played year round for over a decade with no break. Like, NBA players don't do that. The tax that it puts on your body is unreal, you know. And so, but it wasn't a direct competition, and she did 1 year. Like, you had professional teams overseas saying, we'll pay you X amount of money, $1 million, $2 million, to not play in the WNBA this season and just take a break, let your body heal. Like, and it's also a thing of like, when you're playing constantly, because I did it, there's literally no time for actual skill development, because you're constantly practicing, you're constantly playing games, you're constantly managing your body. So there's really not a whole lot of time to where you can break down and work on a skill set and say, hey, I'm going to do this for 2 weeks. I'm going to do this for a month. This is what I'm trying to get better at. It's like a grind, and you're playing. So the, now that you have, you know, the 3-on-3 league, and Ice Cube willing to offer up money, now they have actual competition on their home soil simultaneously at the same time that their season is going on. So will this offer be the thing that kind of breaks the dam and says, hey, some stuff has to change, or else, you know, we're going to lose some players that are massive money makers for this league?
Well, we got to go, and that's a hell of an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying she's got to take the money. Screw it. WNBA has no leverage. They have no leverage,
yeah,
right?
She gets so many endorsements now, too. It's not $5 million worth, but...
I'm saying she
But that's if you're doing it for money.
I'm saying she can take the endorsements. She can break some barriers, get paid $5 million, play 12 games or whatever in the big three, and then...
But I'm going to say this. It's such an individual thing, Dave, yeah. Because I don't know Caitlin Clark from Adam, right? Like, but what I do know about her and what I've seen in the coverage, like, she has always, from her childhood, been an ultra-competitive
yes.
person. And so to play in a 3-on-3 league, in her mind, is that something that's alluring to her, or is it like
playing against the men?
Yeah,
in the 3-on-3 league.
But it's not the same as quote. And this sounds terrible, but it's not the same as real basketball. And I don't know how to word it.
No, I hear you. You're right.
Meaning to the league, but it's not the same.
Yeah, maybe she wants to be the best WNBA player ever.
Yeah, maybe she has goals that she's like, I want to break all of these records. I want to mm-hmm. break Diana's records. I want to do that. You know, like, I don't know her personally to be able to say one way or the other, mm-hmm. like, what motivates her.
Well, I actually, it's funny, my cousin grew up with her, and I do know her, and I think she's going. I know her really well.
You heard it here.
I heard it here first.
Breaking news.
All right, Katie, thank you so much. Good talk all the way around. And get some rest, make some dog food, and have fun on Friday.
Bye.
Honestly, I got to go.
Yeah.
We got to go. But I think that's an incredibly fascinating story. And I think if I'm Caitlin Clark's family, regardless of what decision she makes, you're celebrating right now. Like, how cool is that? You're celebrating because you're already celebrating Ram Truck Month going on right now at Hoblet Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Woodland. And you can celebrate with the biggest savings of the year on new 2024 Ram 1500 Laramie Limiteds. Now, I can barely believe it, but right now you can save up to 16 grand off MSRP on one of America's most loved trucks. Yeah, 16 grand off MSRP. There's new cars out there you can buy for 16 grand, and that's what's off at Hoblet. And they have California's biggest selection of Ram trucks, over 500 available. Big savings, big selection. That's what has made Hoblet California's number one Ram truck dealer. So if you're looking for a truck, Hoblet should be your first and only stop to get the truck you need at the price you want. See their full selection at HobletDodge.com. Unbeatable prices, unbeatable selection. Nobody beats Hoblet, period. True Sports Card Show, Aaron Pilotti, who shows up each and every weekend and joins us on Thursdays. Here's a tease for you. How can Kevin Herter sign autographs? No idea. But we'll find out. We'll update on that. Or we won't, depending on Inquiring Minds want to know next.
Spring is here. Fresh cut grass. The crack of the bat. And that means opening day of the Major League Baseball season. The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sactown Sports.
Welcome back. Dave, Jason, Ron Pilotti. Host of the Sports Card, True Sports Card Show every weekend right here on the Sporty 1140. And joins us, talk a little bit about the business of cards. And I know I kind of sucked you into this whole thing without talking to you first, but since I did mention our good friend Kevin, and you exclusively announced on the show here
yes.
last week,
grand opening, grand closing. Here's where we're at.
Yeah,
Kevin's injury is pretty severe.
Yeah,
when I first watched it, I got a text message in our group chat that said, "Kevin, uh-oh." That's all it said.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't watching it. I went quickly to see what happened online, and I thought he actually broke his.
That's what
arm.
A lot of people did.
Because it got floppy.
Yeah.
It looked
yeah.
floppy.
Yeah.
Then when you look back and now know that it was a shoulder injury, yeah. you could see it kind of like protruding out a little bit.
Yeah.
I've had my shoulder dislocated, and it was the most excruciating pain I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
With that said, we had a scheduled signing this weekend at the Galleria, which was going to be Saturday. Unfortunately, yeah. After talking to Kevin's agent yesterday, they do have to postpone the signing. Mm. It's pretty significant.
Is it because he's soft?
Wow.
Should we text him?
As my friend Kevin heard.
Red Velvet. Velvet is also soft.
Yes.
Like, what are we doing? No, in all seriousness, that's tough.
It's tough.
He can sign left-handed.
He is right-handed, so yeah. it's his left shoulder. Could he sign? Yes. But here's the thing. I don't know what they're planning on doing with
yeah.
the rehab, but
yeah.
I will share this, that I certainly don't want to have one of our fans
yeah.
get excited to see him
yeah.
bump into his shoulder
oh, God.
And the dude's out for way longer.
Yeah.
Like that's a real like, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. when he basically reschedule it, hopefully, and have him come back when his shoulder isn't hurt.
Yeah. We have the Sacramento Autograph Expo that's happening May 17th through the 19th yeah. in the Roseville Fairgrounds. And we already have Malik Monk there. I was told by the agent that we're shooting to have Kevin at that one,
okay.
depending
okay.
on his rehab. So
yeah, gotcha.
We'll keep you guys informed. But those that bought tickets to the event, I'll be refunding all day today and tomorrow, the
okay.
next day. But
yeah.
you know, it's just when you have the opportunity to meet a player up close and you're that close to doing it,
yeah.
and you bought tickets and you're excited, and just to have it fall apart, it's tough. But at the same time, they are humans.
I think everybody understands.
Yeah.
For sure.
And Kevin's a great guy. Everyone got to know him on this show last year, and I'm sure he will make good on that as soon as – it's not like he's happy about it. He'll make good on that as soon as possible. Sure. Now, if the next time you announce a Kings player signing on this program
– Who would you like me to – would you like me to announce?
Let's Yeah, exactly. Maybe we start G League and work our way up.
Exactly.
Playoffs
no
are coming
injuries.
Up. We just want to make sure.
Yeah.
What's that guy, Camacho?
Yeah,
we'll
exactly.
talk about Camacho.
Right.
You probably heard us at the end of the last segment with Katie talking about the WNBA and potentially what it's going to be for someone like Caitlin Clark.
Yep.
WNBA cards and pricing and all that stuff has become more of a thing. Where's Caitlin Clark in the scheme of things as far as collectibles?
So strangely enough, Caitlin Clark is probably top five hottest athlete, mm-hmm. male or female, in collecting right now.
Okay.
And strangely enough, she was a Fanatics exclusive, meaning Topps had her, Bowman had her in the products, autographs. And she just recently signed with Panini, which was... you know, a shock. Why did Fanatics not lock her up? So now she's no longer going to be part of Fanatics next year, and she's going to be signing Panini. Now, why would she do that? Why would she walk away from the largest entity in sports memorabilia? Well, it comes down to the fact that the NBA, the MLB, and the NFL are moving to Fanatics in the next 2 years.
Right.
But you know who's not moving? WNBA.
There you go.
So they're staying with Panini. So why would she go sign somewhere outside of where her mm-hmm. bread and butter is going
to
be at?
If everybody's moving to Fanatics, does that mean that, like, I don't know, Donruss can't do baseball cards anymore or whatever? Like, only Fanatics can?
Or no logos?
Well, they're currently doing that. Panini, Donruss is under Panini.
Okay.
And in that example, they have all the players because they have the Players Association.
Yeah.
But they don't have the logos or the actual MLB. So it's Los Angeles with Shohei Ohtani. It's Los Angeles with Trout.
So are the days gone? Like, you and I growing up, it was you know, Topps was the one for me. You had the Fleer rated rookies, right? Wasn't it Fleer? Donruss, whatever.
Donruss rated rookies.
Donruss rated rookies. What was Fleer? Did Fleer have something like rated? I don't know what it was. Future Stars, whatever the hell it was. But you had Donruss, Fleer, and Topps. I mean, to the point where, like, we'd actually make fun of each other in elementary school and be like, oh, that's like the GoBots of cards. Like, you had this.
GoBots versus Transformers?
Yeah, that's an old person.
Then Upper Deck came in. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Upper Deck. What the hell is this? Like, are those days gone now?
Well, there's so many brands.
Yeah.
And there are so many subsets.
Yeah.
And there are color parallels of everything. And everything's numbered. I mean, it's just to the point where I do this for a living, and I don't even know what some of this stuff is. Mm. It's like, what? I have to go to the younger guys in my team and go, what variation is that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the peacock. What? Are you serious?
Right.
And that's legit.
The
Dave,
gold
I'm not making
prism
that up.
Peacock, two of two.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't.
Right? How, when there's eight different one of ones, how exclusive is the one of one?
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's, it's just a mess, but there's so many people collecting that they don't mind wading through the mess.
Could Jason start his own? Could Jason, if he had the money?
Well, we all know he does.
Right, yeah. He does.
Whether he chooses to.
Right, but
could Jason start a trading card company? Could he make his own Donruss?
Just no logos, no teams.
No, but could, I mean, I'm asking like.
Maybe Don Ross.
Are these, Don Ross, there you go.
that's
well done. Is all that stuff locked up, or could he get the license from the Players Association, get the license from MLB, NBA, whatever, and like, is there still room for people to come in and start a new Upper Deck or a Don Ross, or have Fanatics locked all that up exclusively?
They've locked it up because of the Players Association.
Yeah.
If you don't have the players, you can make all the trading cards in the world for the Cincinnati Reds, but who would you put on there?
Stick figures.
Exactly. Exactly.
Those made-up names for that one video game. Yeah.
Now, when it comes to the Players Association, that's active.
Yeah.
That's active. So if they went and did something with retireds, no problem.
Okay.
So if they wanted to go get Pete Rose and Jason said, hey, Pete, will you do a deal with me? And Pete, you know, Pete's going to say yes.
He will, yes.
Yeah, so he pays Pete. So he could do a retired players grouping, but it's not necessarily that.
How about Shohei in the news this week? Any damage to his cards?
I know we're kind of close, but I want to let you know just real quick. We'll be talking about it this weekend on our show on Saturday at 10 a.m. here on Sacktown Sports 1140. Shohei has not seen any damage. Like, legitimately, I think when it comes down to it and you think about the people that really are traditionalists and hate the cheaters, they're overlooking this significantly. Now, they may not in a week when they find out that Shohei's more involved than they thought, but like...
If they were to.
Yeah, think of Ryan Braun, think of Tatis. Think of these guys. Think of even other sports. TJ Dillashaw from the UFC.
Yeah.
Like, when people find out that you cheat, you're kind of on the outside looking in, unless they really like you.
What about Barry Bonds? Did he get damaged?
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. Massively. Okay. But, you know, we're local and we always love him because love you know what it is?
Yeah.
It makes us remember how we felt when we watched Barry hitting.
True.
That's what it comes down to.
As we wrap up and I want you to plug a show on the weekend, I would like to admonish our chat mob and our text line to please stop. It is not funny for you to suggest active Kings players to do the next signing for Imran. So just knock it off. Stop throwing names out. Not going to read them. I mean,
I can announce signings with our opposite players. Maybe I'll sign Luka. Maybe we'll have Luka on Saturday.
He'll do it. He'll do it for a Golden Buffet.
I was going to say for a beer and a sandwich.
Gift card. Exactly. So what's going on this weekend?
We've got covering, you know, the Otani situation. Yeah. We'll also talk about Caitlin Clark. We'll see what's going on with the tournament and how that's going to affect the draft stock and people that have interest in it. We've got the all these trades and how it's really hurt products like 2021 product. Now Justin Fields is backward.
Are Zach Edey cards a good buy right
now? He's still scheduled to be a second rounder.
Yeah, I know.
So is that we'll probably pick him
up. But is that like a penny stock then?
Yeah.
Like I can stock up on Edey cards and maybe they hit, but if not, I haven't really lost much.
You won't lose much.
Yeah.
You won't gain much either.
Right here. All right, check him out this weekend. That's our good friend, Imran Palati, and keeping you up to date on everything going on in the world of cards. You can check him out online, on Twitter, and so much more, including this weekend. We'll take a break. We'll wrap up with Across Talk, Styles & Watkins, Celebrity Birthdays, brought to you by Crumble Cookies and more right after this.
It's time for the news of the day.
The latest headlines, the biggest stories, hard-hitting analysis.
Yeah, this is none of those things.
And now,
here's Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross.
Come on. All right, well, we got a lot to get to. Let's all just calm down. We got a lot to get to.
Come on.
Let's start with some, guys, I have some good news of what you're already aware of.
Mm.
I have some bad news I don't think you're aware of.
Okay.
And we talked about this early when I got the text. And we've been waiting to talk about this until the crosstalk. All right, so the good news.
Yeah.
Freaking congratulations,
man. Happened.
It happened. It happened. We want the funk played after a Malik Monk play. That was awesome.
Twice.
Yeah, it happened. It was well received, and it was a one-off.
Yeah. Well,
they're incredibly superstitious there. And so I got a text today saying, yeah, he's off. We just had our biggest blowout of the year. Probably not bringing him back.
Maybe not play it once they're already down 20.
They were down 20.
Yeah, I know. Mm.
You know what that sounds like?
What?
It sounds like it wasn't done in good faith.
Yeah.
It sounds like you didn't want to do it, and they said play it. Because you know they played it low, Jason.
They did.
They played it low.
So now there's infighting. So you guys are basically taking the Kings' ops to task. I'm not saying you're wrong. The Kings ops to task for basically just kind of half-assing it.
That's right.
And they're saying, guys, we tried it.
And no, you didn't.
We got and blown
even
out.
Play, first of all, the off night, they got DJ Khaled to redub it to off night.
Wow.
This thing, they didn't even play. It was an instrumental.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what to do. Nobody knew what to say.
They play the Seven Nations Army thing like 100 times. And then
they cranked up. They got
subwoofers going.
That's a low blow.
They really tried to shove it down our throat for months.
Moak didn't give anybody a, this is what you're supposed to do in this situation. No, I told Chris, this is, what is this, Chris? If this is, what is a Wasabi Wednesday?
Yeah.
Don't play with me today.
Wasabi Wednesday.
It's spicy. Don't play with me today. Do not play with me today.
Well, unfortunately.
Jason?
Yeah.
Have they been like this all day?
Yes.
Have they?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're just playing. That never happens. Never happened. I just made that whole thing up.
Are you serious?
I mean, it was,
100%. Honestly, I just want to see how
it
you
wouldn't have
react.
Made sense.
It wouldn't have made sense.
Yeah.
But
it's,
boy.
It's alive and kicking.
But now we know how you would react.
Yeah. Yeah. So make it work.
He did play with you, didn't he?
I didn't know it was Wasabi Wednesday. I didn't know. Nobody told me.
What did you think was going to happen? 36 points last night.
It's not on the calendar. Look, today, Melissa doctor appointment. That's it. No Wasabi Wednesday on
But a lot of people are superstitious. It did cross my mind.
I am superstitious. I am.
It but did cross my mind.
But your point that they started playing it after they were getting blown out is a factor. Now, if they get blown out again Friday when they do it, we're going to have a conversation, a tough conversation.
But they were already down 20.
I'm saying
it's
like,
not like it caused the
if
20.
If they play it in the beginning of the game, I'm saying on
well,
Friday.
Well, I don't think he – did he score in the first half?
He did. Yeah.
I think he had two. Yeah, he didn't have much.
The title of your, right, but they don't play it for everything. It's got to be a three or an emphatic
What I'm waiting
bucket.
For is like for him to have one of those highlights that goes to timeout, song plays, then you get the arena game.
But they do need to know what they're supposed doing. To do.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right. Well, don't be playing with them on a Wasabi Wednesday.
No. Please don't.
I thought it was a woohoo, let's have some fun Wednesday.
No.
Celebrity birthdays. Yeah, Wee Wednesday. No. Celebrity birthdays are meant to be.
And I better get one right.
Actually, just birthdays, not all celebrity birthdays. They're meant to be spent with family and friends. And nothing brings family and friends together better than crumble cookies. Gentlemen, just so you know, reports are saying this is true. I'm not messing around. That Shohei Ohtani had. No, I'm not messing around. Has hired the same crisis PR firm as Alec Baldwin, Hillary Clinton, and Harvey Weinstein. Also representing Danny Masterson, Armie Hammer, and Prince Andrew, amongst others. I want to double check that. But boy, if that's the case, if allegedly. If you do anything wrong, what do you need a crisis PR firm for? That's all I'm saying, right?
It's
becoming quite
question.
A crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say screw it. Hey, you know what?
Celebrity birthdays. Mm. Today you guys are going to get the second name right on every one of these names, I think.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Mariah.
Carrie.
Hey, you got it. How old is Mariah today?
That's a tough one.
Wow.
She does not want us to know.
Young when she's really young when she's.
It's got to be older than you think. No disrespect. 54.
Whatsoever.
I'm going to say 56.
Yeah, 54.
Wow. I was 53.
55.
53, 54, 55, 56. There is a correct answer in there, and it goes to Christopher Laud, 55. Oh, well, Mariah Carey.
There you go.
Love Takes Time, my favorite Mariah Carey song.
Obsessed.
You know,
pretty
you're
good.
Hurting so much. What? I'm not obsessed. I just like her song.
Why are you so obsessed?
Weird.
Happy birthday, Quentin.
You're so
Tarantino.
Mad. Are you still mad?
Correct.
Quentin
Johnson.
Got played by you.
Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino.
Great movies.
He's like 63. Yeah.
What's his best movie?
Inglourious Bastards.
Why'd you say it like that?
Because
Kill Bill.
Django's great.
It's Django.
Best movie.
I don't know how old he is. I'm going to say... 64?
I said 63.
Mm. 58.
61.
We have a correct answer today. It goes to Christopher Laud, 61.
Wow. This is weird.
Can I say something about Quentin Tarantino that's super unfair? Part of me refuses to really like him because I feel like...
He's a foot guy.
He is like the leader in the clubhouse to me of people that someday something weird's going to come out about him that I don't know about yet. Like
he makes movies to see women's feet. I think that's pretty. Yeah.
Well, didn't you do the thing in the one movie with Salma Hayek? Yeah. I read about that.
He gives me
the creepies. Is all I'm saying. Anyways, back to you, Jason.
Happy birthday, Buster.
Posey. Could be only
rhymes.
Buster Rhymes, yes.
The vaunted Buster Rhymes. He's a little bit old. Is he 38?
Is he 38?
I should know this. Florida State's.
I think he's 37 or 38.
Buster Posey. I think you're right, but I'll say 39 just to be fair. But I actually think he's 37.
He's 37.
37.
Yeah.
We have a correct answer. 37.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How's that feel?
Chris Verlaud, by the way, is 3 for 3.
It's 3 for 3. That is the record. I believe the record's 3 for 3.
No one's ever done 4 in a row.
No. Here we go.
Here we go.
And he's answering first. Clear the way.
Okay. No second name needed. Happy birthday, Fergie. This is a tough one.
This is a tough one.
Sarah Ferguson, Duchess?
Just Fergie.
Oh, okay.
So Chris has to go first?
Yeah, he does.
Because no one in the history of the game has ever
said it for him.
I'm going to say she is 41.
Okay. Oh, he's
nobody
wrong.
I think she's older.
Nobody has ever done four in a row.
Black Eyed Peas, they weren't spring chickens.
No, they weren't. She's 47.
I don't know how springy they were. I'm going to go 45.
Those chickens weren't springy.
Look at the chicken.
40, I'll say 48.
Okay. No correct answer. Yeah. The streak is broken. But Chris Watkins is the closest. 49.
49.
Whoa. Wow. Georgia.
49er. Yeah. What's coming up on the show today on Wasabi Wednesday?
Yeah. Brendan and Frankie should probably be scared, but we are going to have our Kings Roundtable at 12:30.
Okay.
Breaking down what went wrong.
I'm trying to think. You know what? That sounds like a sponsorable segment. Let me think about who could sponsor that. We'll break. We'll come back with the spicy ones. These guys next.